Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's Success Team Call. It is Thursday evening, August 8th, 2019. My name is Jim Tanner, dialing in from my home in Boston, Massachusetts, out in the suburbs, actually, where it's a humid, high 80s plus degrees all day today. We spent a little bit of that valuable hot time in the pool and enjoyed it, and of course, got a lot of work done as well. And we are excited. I say we because there's so many of our leaders on the call this evening, and I got I have the honor this evening. I'm going to be the one spending some time with you. I'm going to train you, but I say we because there's so many of our leaders, six-figure and multiple six-figure annual earners on the call, plugged in, and we're all here together. We've come together to share our Thursday evening, and briefly, but also to just remind each other about the power of the business we have. And as I was making notes and preparing for this evening's Success Team Call, I started to think a lot about how I could share the power of the daily disciplines that go into building a successful Legal Shield business. And I started to write some notes, and many of you know that I don't want to get off on a tangent, but many of you know that this year I have been writing a book that's going to come out at the end of the year. And so I'm going to share with you some notes, but also some of this is from the writings that are ultimately going to be in the book about how to build. Well, I won't say what the book is specifically about, but I'll say that it chronicles a lot of my life and specifically the journey from $0 to $1 million in my Legal Shield business, and uncovers a lot of the truths that I've learned along the way. And tonight I'm going to talk about daily disciplines, and this is certainly a truth that I've learned along the way. And I'm going to refer to my notes here as I speak with you, but before I get started, I want to congratulate everybody again. I know that we talked right off the bat last week. It was the beginning of the month of August, but man, and, you know, Mike Riches and Mark Riches had said on our Monday morning B2B support calls, August was going to be big. But it's the 8th of the month. I mean, really, the reporting we have is through the first 7 days, officially. Those are the results that we can look at. And they've been phenomenal. Growth in recruiting, growth in membership sales, growth in protecting families, protecting small businesses, just tremendous growth in our small business legal plan sales. Phenomenal work to all of you, ladies and gentlemen, to you, leaders of teams, the team members yourselves, the people producing, the people that are sharing our opportunity. Congratulations, really. I mean, really, congratulations, because you are moving the needle. And I am just impressed by the results. And maybe some of you are feeling what I'm feeling, which is that As we round out the summer months, as people start, their children are going back to school, people are getting back into their fall and winter routines, that recruiting seems to just kind of get a little bit easier. Marketing memberships, or at least specifically getting appointments to market memberships, becomes a little bit easier. At least it feels like it is, because we can get the attention of people that were on vacations prior, that were distracted prior, that were their mind and their focus were in other places besides sitting down with us. And so I know many of you are reaping the rewards of that shift in season. And we're going to have a fantastic finish to the third quarter. And if history is any indicator, we're going to have an incredible fourth quarter 2019. So congratulations also to all of you that are participating on the B2B side of the business, either in production in the field yourself, or many of you that work with me very closely recruiting to the business solutions marketplace, identifying the people that want to be professional sellers in our organization, getting them trained and plugged into field training, getting them through our certification process, plugging them into the incredible advanced training that Mr. Mike Riches makes available to us. Phenomenal resources that we all have, but the resources are meaningless without the leaders in place to plug their recruits into that incredible, vast, available resources. So let me get into my notes, because I want to do my best to keep the call brief, but I'm going to give you some information. I'm just going to give you a lot to think about when it comes to the daily disciplines of building a business that creates momentum, about building a business where you're marketing memberships, your Legal Shield business, marketing memberships that not only pay a commission today, but continue to be on the books in the months and years and hopefully the decades into the future, continuing to pay you income over and over for the life of the membership. And as I mentioned, I'm going to be dipping into some of the writing from my book, and I'm going to start with the way that I introduce my grandfather in the book, because I believe that his story is really or his lessons that he provided to me over the years really helped me to develop the daily disciplines that allowed me to succeed with my Legal Shield business. And I just want you to know, I know there's a lot of brand new people on the call. It's weird to talk about yourself, but let me just make sure you understand that you're being trained this evening by somebody that understands how to build this business. You know, I joined this business to make $400 a week so I could quit jobs that didn't fulfill me and didn't get me towards the goals that I was trying to achieve in my life. I was able to do that. I was able to earn a full-time income with my Legal Shield business. I was able to dare to dream and then achieve a six-figure annual income and then a multiple six-figure annual income. And I've been able to earn $1 million plus in my Legal Shield business. As a matter of fact, we're just in overrides. We're closing in on $1 million in override income from building a sales team, a world-class team of professional producers across the United States and Canada. And soon, we'll have people in the UK that we can add to that story as well. So let me get into my training for you this evening, which is honest, truthful, transparent, emotional, and very real. And it starts with the story of my grandfather. And then, as I've written the notes in the book, it starts like this. My chapter on daily disciplines. Is the flag still up? That was the question my grandmother would always ask my grandfather on the phone. She'd call him on the phone every afternoon, early evening, and she'd say a lot of things, ask him when he was coming home, but ultimately the question she would ask is the flag still up? She'd call him because she was attempting to figure out when he was going to be home for dinner. And when I was a kid, my grandfather, he was the postmaster of the post office in his hometown. He'd already had a long career in the postal service at the point that he got the assignment for his home location. And that happened maybe before I was born, but definitely long before I can remember. My memories, my whole childhood, he was the postmaster of this tiny post office in Proctor, Vermont. The marble town that I've talked about so many times in the past. And in that small town in those days, the post office, the barber shop, and the local market were really the social hub of that tiny community. And they happened to also all be on the same ground floor of this beautiful old New England building that was in the center of town across from the town common, the town park. His home, my grandparents' home, was about a five-minute drive from the post office. And it was a quick drive. He loved his work. And the reason my grandmother was making those calls every night, and specifically why she was asking that question, was because the whole town knew that even though the post office closed at 5 p.m., if the flag was still up on the flagpole, that meant that my grandfather was still inside. And if he was inside, you could still get some stamps or a money order. All you had to do really was just tap on the glass and get his attention. See, he loved servicing his customers and his community. And I watched from a young age, I watched him go above and beyond for others. In fact, the reason he was still there so many evenings long after closing time was because he was catching up on his own work from the day. You know, the reports and other necessary duties that somebody in his position would have that would otherwise get done during the normal order of the day. Usually that stuff was delayed until later because he was spending all of those precious hours during the day talking with his customers. He knew everyone in that town, and I mean, he knew them. He knew their stories. He knew their children's names. He knew if somebody in the family was sick. He knew if a baby was born or someone got married. And he would go above and beyond in ways that you'd never dream of for a small town public servant. Over the years, I'd heard legendary stories of him delivering packages personally with his own vehicle at Christmas. In our family, the stories of my grandfather calling my grandmother and drafting her into service to ride with him over the mountain to the mail transfer station so that a letter or package that had missed the cutoff and didn't get on the transfer truck that evening could still get out that evening. And in my family, they tell those stories with great joy. And anytime somebody talks about my grandfather and his post office, it's usually something like that, about the preposterous level of service he would give and that probably nobody would have ever known about if they didn't bear witness themselves. When he reluctantly retired from that job that he loved, he continued to serve. He served in his church, he visited friends in the hospital and in nursing homes. Even near the end of his life, when he was living in a nursing home, he continued to check in on other people in other parts of the building. I can remember going to visit him and the nurses saying, well, he's in a different wing. He's checking on this person or that person that came in for rehab. He never wanted anyone to feel alone or forgotten, I suppose. And he used whatever energy and mobility he still had to look in on them. And as a matter of fact, in those days when he was living out the rest of his life in a nursing home, he had had a leg amputated. He had had a hip replacement. He walked gingerly with a walker and usually the assistance of a nurse. But that didn't stop him from making his rounds as if he was still a mailman, but making his rounds to visit people in other parts of the nursing home. And if we'd let him and he had the ability, he would have traveled up to the hospital nearby and checked on people there as well. That's just who he was and how he lived his life. And I wanted to tell that story first. As I mentioned, some of that's notes from the book, but I wanted to tell that story first because now I want to talk about some experiences that I have had over the last several years where people ask me if they can come and watch me work. Like, this is the kind of thing that people will say. They'll say, hey, listen, can I just come up and spend a day with you? And I remember the first time somebody asked me that, I was surprised and I didn't really know how to answer. They just want to sit with me. They wanted to watch me talk on the phone to my prospects, my customers, and members of my team. And I realized over time that they felt like they were missing something and that maybe just watching me would provide the answers. Maybe there's something they're neglecting to do or something that they're just not saying. They were looking for some magic bullet that I had because they knew about the success that I was experiencing in my Legal Shield business. And they were looking for an advantage. They were looking for what was it that I was doing different than they were doing. And I didn't want to do that, by the way. I didn't want to be watched. The idea of it made me uncomfortable. But eventually I said yes to someone, and I had continued to say yes since. And people had driven in from around the region and further away than I ever believed somebody would, just to spend a day or half a day or a couple of days hanging out with me, watching me work. I always ask people at the end of these visits, what was the most unexpected thing they witnessed or what did they learn? Because I want to know what they took away from this. Was this valuable? And by the way, I get it now because I had gone with the same intention to Cookeville, Tennessee to spend time with Mark Riches. Even when I didn't really know that's what I wanted, I would go there. I felt drawn there because I knew that I was missing something. So after a while, I did understand and I let people do it. And I would always inquire, what was different than what you thought or what was unexpected or what did you learn? And the answer most often is that they were surprised at the total volume of people that I'm in regular communication with every day. Over and over, when I asked people that question, that was what surprised them the most. They had no idea how many people I was talking to. They didn't know. Because I'm reaching out to follow up with people that I've talked to about the business in the past. I'm reaching out to new people so that I can share my business. People that haven't yet learned what I do, that I haven't yet exposed to the business, that I haven't yet invited to watch the video or go through our first step training. And I guess I should say, I know that one of the ways that we get frustrated in building our business is we just feel like we don't have enough people to talk to. We don't have enough people to talk to about our Legal Shield services. We don't have enough people to talk to about our opportunity. And I had felt that way too. And I realized from visiting Mark Riches in Cookeville, from spending time with him, that I needed to develop the disciplines to make sure that I always have more people to talk to today than I did yesterday. And what we ultimately call that is filling the funnel, right? Equally important to filling the funnel, though, is to never neglect that funnel and allow it to empty. So many times, I would get inspired to start filling the funnel. And you've heard me talk about this before, and I would describe it as hitting the gas and then hitting the brake. Well, I was never really hitting the brake, because if you're thinking about the car analogy, like hitting the brake, that's a very intentional thing to do. I don't think anybody ever intentionally says, I want my business to stop having momentum. But what I would do is, if the analogy is a car, I would hit the gas, I would start prospecting, I would build my list, I would add to my list, I would get people into the process of being exposed, but then I would let off of the gas. I would focus my attention on what those people did or did not do that I'd already exposed, who was or who was not interested. And again, in that car analogy, instead of pushing on the gas and continuing to add people to that funnel every single day, I would let the car slow down. And it would slow down so incrementally that I wouldn't notice it was happening until the pipeline was totally empty. There was no new people. And I learned through the pain of that, that you have to have daily disciplines, and that those daily disciplines allow you to get into a rhythm with your business. And that rhythm is what helps you to build a successful business, so that every single day you're talking to more people than the day before. And I know that people get frustrated when they don't know who they're going to talk to, okay? So if you were to come and spend the day with me, here's what you'd see. First, you'd see that I add new people to my list of prospects every single day. Now, maybe only two or three people get added to my list every day. It doesn't have to be 10 or 20 or more for you to be successful. I think a lot of people believe that more is better. But more is not better than consistent, because consistent over time will always be more than impulsively recruiting once in a while. And it could just be a few, but keep in mind that it should be every single day. Again, not once in a while when you feel inspired to do it. This is what you'd see me doing if you were visiting me, finding people that I can add to my list. And I might be doing that from Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, social media, or just from doing my daily activities like running errands or going to the grocery store. Now, I'm an introvert, but I can meet people and talk to them because ultimately I know that what I do with my Legal Shield business, my service, and my opportunity is in service to them. My feelings of service to my community with my product and my opportunity overrides my feelings of being uncomfortable networking for my business. So whatever I'm doing, I'm open to an opportunity to add people to my list every single day. It's a huge pitfall for your business if you think that just once or twice a week or a few times a month you can add to your list. You need to develop a daily discipline, and that's what you'd see me doing if you spent the day with me. You'd also see me following up with the people that I've already shared my business opportunity with. Every day I review the status of people that I've invited to learn more about the products or my opportunity. Many of the people that are prospects for my opportunity are my current customers, by the way. My favorite group of people to bring into the business are the people that I've already gotten set up as Legal Shield members, and Legal Shield members that I know that they're using their membership and they love their membership because I took the time with them. I got them to download the app. I encouraged them to get their will done or solve a legal issue that they had that was pressing and on their mind. I know that my best team members are my happy customers, and I'm cultivating ongoing relationships so they can engage in the opportunity when the time is right for them. And I feel strongly that the busiest people are the best candidates for my business. I'm sure you've heard me say that before. Busy people make great associates for your team. So if I'm going to attract busy people, I know that I have to show them that aligning with me in business won't take more time away from what they value most. Instead, it'll allow them to gain more time. I don't want to take them away from their spouse or their children. I want to give them back to their spouse and their children and the things and the people that matter the most to them. So that's what I'm trying to show them with our opportunity. And recruiting is about relationship building. The more I invest in the people that I want to work with, the richer our shared business journey can be in the future. Now, I know it's easy to say all that on a conference call, but I want you to internalize that, because I've spent a great deal of the early days, time and energy, treating customers like the target for gaining a commission. when I started to serve my members, serve my prospects to hope they become members, serve my members to hope they become associates, when I made their interests the priority, my business exploded. So develop relationships and invest in those relationships and be okay with the fact that you're probably not going to sign up your happy member as an associate the same day. Maybe you will. Sometimes it happens. But people that stand the test of time in our business love their membership. They buy their membership because the membership makes sense, not because it's a transactional package as part of becoming an associate. I hope that makes sense to you. If you spend time with me, you'd also see that I invest both time and money in becoming the leader that people are seeking. So people say a lot of great, you know, nice things about me, and they're very complimentary. And I appreciate Adam Thompson was, you know, included me in the people that in quotes and people that he had that he has been influenced by. And I'm grateful for that. And it's beyond words that I could ever be a part of somebody's success journey. I think too often we are compared, unfortunately, compared to, as a leader, someone who's already had success or already become a Millionaire Club member, or whatever that mile marker is that you want to assign to it. But too often new people compare themselves now to where that person is now, instead of understanding that we come from somewhere. Everybody has to be developed. And see, I understand, I'm always still developing. The version of me that you see today is not going to be the same version that you encounter 5 years from now. And I am not today the same person I was 5 years ago. I've learned that it's easier to attract good people to you than it is to pursue them. And I've learned as I've built my business and gone on this personal development journey, that the best way for me to build my business is for me to be the leader that people are looking for in their lives. And because of that, I engage in personal development. Every day I read at least 10 pages of a good book. I mean, this is the 10 core commitments. It's not a secret. And I read a book that will challenge me to think bigger. One of the big challenges in my life, in my Legal Shield journey, has been that I have not thought big enough. Every problem that I have encountered, every stop that I have ever, or every place in my business where I felt stopped and stuck and stagnant, looking back on it, it's because I wasn't thinking big enough. So I look for books that will challenge me to think bigger than I normally think. And even though I think bigger today than I did 5 years ago, I need books today that will help me think bigger 5 years from now than I'm thinking now. So I'm looking for those books. I'm looking for the books that will make me a better leader. I need to work today on being the leader that I want to be in the future. I also listen to audio trainings every day. And I intentionally choose inspiring training over music or news. Honestly, I probably can't tell you who the hot songs or artists are or pop music. And I don't know what a politician has done to cause controversy. And so far, none of that has caused me to lose out on any important opportunities. I guess I seem not cool to my nieces. And I probably am not great at carrying on a politically charged conversation with my friends. But so far, that's served me well. And for 28 years of my life, I had never been exposed to positive thinking, motivation, or encouragement from these types of authors. Les Brown, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins. So many of these people, the first nearly three decades of my life, they were not in my life. So in the time it takes me to drop off my daughter from school or pick her up, I can hear information that makes a real difference in my life and my business. And I'm actively choosing to pour into my brain the information that I need to be a different person in the future than I am today. I practice radical self-care. And you'll hear more of that if you plug into trainings from my wife, Dr. Danielle Russo. She will be the one to help you to understand the power of radical self-care. But I'll just tell you this. I invest in my health, my time, my energy, and my attention. I invest in my health and intentionally in my health because I want to have the energy that I need to be the leader. And I want that to be every single day. So you may not have gotten on a conference call tonight to hear about drinking more water, eating better food, getting exercise. But don't kid yourself into the idea that it's not all connected. is as important as knowing how to market a membership, because it's the energy, it's the ability that you have to get up early and to hit it hard and to create positive vibration around you that attracts the people you're looking for in your business. Here's something else you'd see me do. Even if it's briefly, I check in with my mentors and I check in with my workout partners. And you need to partner up with somebody that has similar aspirations and who will challenge and motivate you. Someone that'll hold you accountable to reach the goals that you say that you're serious about, that you proclaim that you want to achieve. And as important, you have to choose a mentor, someone who's committed to helping you stretch your vision and to be able to help you to set bigger goals than you set on your own. I'm so grateful for the mentors I've had, people that have earned millions of dollars, like Mark Riches, and were willing to share with me their vision that I could do it too. These relationships have to be nourished and attended to, though. It's not automatic. It's not magical. If you stop connecting with your support system, you will drift away from these people. It's so important that you understand that this is a big part of what we do, and you cannot neglect it. Every day I'm planning for the future. I'm planning what live events are happening in my business. For example, conference calls like this, webinars, in-person live training events, fast start training, Super Saturdays. I'm also reviewing the month, the quarter, and even the year. I've learned to build my Legal Shield business from one big event to the next. I am so focused on Salt Lake City because that is the next big, big event in our calendar. And I always track what's coming up next on my calendar, and I know what the big events are in the future beyond that too. I also plan for the future by envisioning that future clearly. I speak into that future with positive daily affirmations, because I know that affirming out loud in the present about the future that I want to create is a way to condition my mind to accept the opportunities that will reveal themselves along the way. Now, a whole bunch of you just folded up your arms and said phooey to affirmations. I would challenge you to check your bank account, your address, the condition of your relationships, and be open to some new ideas that could take you where you want to go, away from where you might have found yourself frustrated in your current state. Accept that affirmations work. That's the first step in embracing them and allowing them to bring positive results into your world. See, for years I believed that life was something that happened to you by chance. And once I understood the power I have over my thoughts, allow me to have power over my circumstances, I was able to set a course for the life I actually desired. And that's the life I have today. And I say that to you not to brag or boast, but to help you to understand that that life is available to you, because the next 6 months or 6 years are going to go by anyway. What if you just lived intentionally with daily disciplines? How much more could things change? Let me go back to just to close up this thought about people coming to visit me. Overwhelmingly, what most people are surprised about is how many people I'm in contact with and how quickly I can make those contacts, okay? That is the overwhelming thing. They see me do a lot of things, but that's really what they take away from it. And I remember the first time that Mark Riches flew into my marketplace. He had made a deal with me that if I reached executive director, he would come in and do a training for my local team. And I remember that I picked him up at the airport. And we drove to the training event. It was about 90 minutes away from the airport. And that's its own story that I don't have time for tonight. But sometime catch me at a live event and have me tell you the story of why the training was 90 minutes from the airport. But I picked Mark Riches up from the airport and we drove to the training event. And I was driving. We were talking and he was giving me great advice. But he was also sending messages, making calls, taking calls from people across North America. It really helped me to see that I just wasn't doing enough. I was doing the right activity, but I was doing too little of it. And when I went from doing very little to doing much more, it didn't actually take a lot more time. It turned out that time wasn't the dependent factor. It was my focus on the activity that mattered. It was being deliberate when using the time that I had more wisely. And this allowed me to add more people to my list and to follow up with people effectively. In Legal Shield, just understand, there's no boss to fire you for neglecting your daily disciplines, your responsibilities. If I don't invest in my future by reading good books and listening to audios and doing self-care, there is no real clear repercussion in the moment. It feels like it doesn't matter because no one will know and no one will see. In reality, it's disastrous for your business. And I agree with Jeff Olson, who in the Slight Edge book talks about the two choices. Choice number one, to do the daily simple disciplines that in the act of doing them seem to make no difference at all, but compounded over time make all the difference in the world. Or choice number two, to make daily errors in judgment and compound them over time. The error to not prospect new people daily. The error to not follow up with prospects daily. To not take care of your body or nourish your relationships. To fail to read, fail to listen to positive information. Fail to affirm what you want. See, you can invest in the future version of yourself by reading books and listening to audios that seemingly wouldn't change your life today, but that activity compounded day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year is what creates your future. This is not about get rich quick or make $1 million overnight. You're going to need to follow daily disciplines. And over time, the compound effect of those daily disciplines will become clear. Let me close and talk a little bit more about my grandfather. At my grandfather's wake, people stood in line for hours to pay their respects. And as one of the grandchildren and the firstborn grandchild, I stood in that line and the hours went on. Children and grandchildren of his friends that had passed before him came to make sure that their family was represented. And he didn't pass suddenly at a young age. He'd lived a full life, and yet grown men and women wept. It was as if no one could imagine they would live in a world without him being there too. And I had the honor of speaking at his funeral. Over the years, obviously most of you know, I've spoken for thousands of hours on conference calls and at live events. And in Legal Shield, I've learned how to speak in public, and I'm comfortable in front of a room full of people, whether that be a few hundred, or thousands. But none of that mattered that day. No matter how long a person is with us, it is a loss when they pass. And my grandfather was the head of the family until he drew his very last breath. To try to offer words that would represent him was certainly not an easy task, and I didn't write anything down. I just decided that whatever words came out of my mouth when I stood at the front of that church would be the right words. I realized, though, in the moments before I stood up that I had so much to say that I probably should have been more prepared, and that, if I'm being truthful now, I did begin to panic. But then I walked up and I stood beside my cousin, who was also tasked with attempting to encapsulate a lifetime into a few short moments. And while she spoke first, I got a chance to collect myself. I took control of my breathing and I settled myself. And when it was my turn to speak, everything that I needed to say, everything that I felt needed to be said, did flow easily. And I talked about how he taught us to do something by first showing what to do and then having you do it while he coached. I talked about how he would prioritize his family above all else, and he raised them in that tiny marble church we were standing in that day. I talked about how much he loved his profession and his customers. I talked about the fact that by the time JFK had given the speech challenging Americans to serve their country, he'd already been doing that very thing. And I talked about how he believed that if it was worth doing, it was certainly worth doing well. In the days after his funeral, I reflected on just how much his values guided my career here in Legal Shield, and really the way I approach my life. I looked back on those early days when I wasn't prioritizing the needs of my customers ahead of my own, and because of that, I wasn't succeeding in this business. And again, as I'd mentioned earlier, when I started to put my customers first, my business grew. Similarly, when I ignored my personal relationships and found myself out of balance while trying to become successful, financial success eluded me. When I placed the needs of my family and friends ahead of my business, my relationships became stronger, and incredibly enough, my business didn't suffer. I look back on the daily disciplines that I formed over time, the actions I take automatically now, but that I struggled to take early on, the things we talked about here tonight. Looking back, much of the discipline is the same things I observed early on from watching my grandfather work in that post office and live his exceptional life. And I'll just say, as my grandfather was getting older, the people in charge had delayed the remodeling and modernizing of his tiny post office until his retirement. And today, that post office in Proctor, Vermont, looks like any other post office you'd go into in your town. Computers and everything you'd expect. His post office, where he served his customers, was carefully taken apart and rebuilt in the basement of the local historical society, where it still stands today as a fitting monument to the man. And I bring up that and I talk about the business philosophy of someone like my grandfather because a Legal Shield business is not a different or new type of business. It's a business with customers that have needs and we fill them. We protect those families with our Legal Shield and ID Shield plans. We protect their small businesses. We protect those commercial truck drivers. They have needs and we fill them. A Legal Shield business is just a real business and it's run by real men and women, you and me, with families and friends that compete for and deserve our attention and our time. My grandfather chose to be the postmaster for a small town in New England. That was his vehicle to serve, to work hard, and to leave a legacy. And I'm a Legal Shield associate. And with my business, I intend to do the very same thing. I'd like you to think about my words this evening and take a look at your Legal Shield business and ask yourself, first of all, are you approaching it in a way that you are intentionally attempting to leave a legacy? That a line, hours long, might form to give your family the reassurance and the kind words to remember you for a life well lived because of the way you served. Are you living your life and building your Legal Shield business intentionally in your daily disciplines? Are you doing today the simple things that may not seem to matter in the moment, but that compounded over time allow you to build an incredible lasting legacy? Ladies and gentlemen, the business we are in matters. What you and I do each and every day matters. I challenge you, as I challenge myself and everyone around us, to do more than we may have done without the challenge. To reach out and share our incredible story with more people today than we did yesterday. To add more prospects to our list, not in pursuit of a commission, but in pursuit of service and building a legacy, a monument that will stand the test of time. Thank you so much for joining me this evening for our Thursday evening success team call. Go finish up this week in an incredible way. We'll join you again on Monday morning for our success team B2B support call with Mr. Mark Riches, and special guests as well. Thank you and good night.